just to keep in mind that thought of what it would be like to be confronted by an angel, by just one angel of the Lord. Now, I want to start this message off with a short introduction. And I'd like you to all close your eyes and cast yourself off that you're sitting in a field somewhere. And I want to ask the children to make sure that their parents aren't naughty and that they don't peek. Children, have your parents got their eyes closed? Hey, have they got their eyes closed? Children, are your eyes closed? I want you to imagine this. Over 2,000 years ago, you're sitting in a field. It's nighttime. There's no television. There are no radios. There's no iPods. There's no PlayStations. The homes do not have electricity. There's no lighting as we know it. They may have some candles and lamps. And you're sitting in the field with some shepherds. You're actually living out in the fields. So imagine yourself sitting out there in the evening, a long way from any towns, a long way from your home. It's a beautiful evening, quiet and tranquil. A light wind blows the grass, and you can see its silhouette on the hillside, the grass just gently moving. The moon is giving you enough light to see some of your sheep just walking around quietly eating some grass. And you think to yourself, what a beautiful evening, this silent night. And then all of a sudden, this bright light comes from heaven. And this terrifying creature comes bright, shining like lightning, his clothes white. And he starts speaking to you. You can open your eyes again. And can you imagine those shepherds on that night, just quietly sitting there? And all of a sudden, confronted with this creature. And many throughout the scriptures, when they saw one of these angels, they said, woe is me. You know, this is such a pure creature. How can I even stand before it? And in a literal reading of this text says that they weren't just terrified. It says they were afraid with a great fear. Have you ever been afraid with a great fear? That's how Luke, the doctor Luke, as he wrote about it, spoke about it. He said they were terrified. They were afraid with a great fear. So if you follow with me in Luke chapter 2 from verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. And so this angel did not come to terrify them. He came as a messenger, for that's what angel means. He was just one coming on behalf of God. And can you imagine being a shepherd in that field who's been reading the scriptures? 400 years of silence where God has not spoken after the prophets. And all of a sudden, God comes and speaks to you. Not the people in the temples, not the scribes, not the Pharisees, not the king, but some shepherds. Just ordinary people. And he doesn't just give you an ordinary message, this angel. He says that that prophet which you've read about, Micah, who you heard about 700 years ago, who prophesied that there would be a Messiah, an anointed one, in Bethlehem, who would be born one day. He's there right now. He has been born tonight. And what I wanted to bring to us this evening is this, trying to break this routine of the Christmas story. For many of us adults, we've heard it so many times. By the end of Christmas, as we've walked through the shopping centres, we're bored of the Christmas carols. Well, I am anyway, I don't know about you. We're tired of the trivial way they played. We've seen nativity scenes come and go. But do we really think this is what the angels were saying? You were promised a Messiah, someone to save you. All of history has pointed to this time, and it is now. And when they finished speaking, as though the appearance of one angel was frightening enough, all of a sudden, thousands of angels, we read a myriad of angels appear. we follow on reading in verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased." And so many of us receive messages, and we look forward to messages. I may order something. I ordered some software from the United States, and I waited for it eagerly. But imagine an announcement of this type. Imagine the shock that enters your world. And then imagine being confronted with the silence for 400 years from God, and all of a sudden, thousands of angels. And so that's the picture we have of these shepherds, absolutely awestruck in the field. And then we read that suddenly these angels are gone. But they've received a revelation from God, and they need to act on it. And we see that they went to Bethlehem. What a message they received. And not only did they go, if you read with me, it says when the angels, verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. Can you imagine some angels appearing and telling that God has been born, that the God child has arrived? They went with haste. I would imagine these shepherds incredulously running and sprinting all the way to Bethlehem. And when they arrived there, they found Joseph and Mary. And the angel's words were confirmed to them. Everyone who heard about what the shepherds had witnessed were amazed at the words spoken about this child who was sleeping in the animal's food trough. Ladies, could you imagine being Mary at that time? I know just from my mother that many things were told to her about me, things I'd done, or sometimes naughty, sometimes good things, but my mom would treasure them, and she only told me them years later. And we read there in verse 19, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." Imagine the confirmation from her. I mean, initially, she had received this revelation from an angel, a messenger. She must have been just as terrified by this heavenly creature. And then she went to tell Joseph that she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And he said, "I'll just divorce you quietly. I mean, what's the chance? God has been silent for hundreds of years." But then the angel comes and speaks to Joseph, but they're the closed circle. Elizabeth comes in and Zacharias. But now imagine the joy that Mary must feel that some other people have had this message confirmed by an angel, and how she ponders these things, stores them up as treasures in her heart. So we saw the shepherds in the field, and then we see them in Bethlehem, just telling this amazing story. Everyone's standing amazed. This child, in such humble surroundings, can he truly be the promised Messiah? Is this God with us? And we read, "And the shepherds returned." It's useful for us just to reflect on that. The shepherds returned. We too come and worship God. We come and experience Christ corporately at church. But we cannot stay in this environment. We need to return to where we live, where we work, where we parent, where we are children, where we are grandparents. We need to return. But there's one really important thing that I want to point out this evening, is that they didn't just return to their old way of life. Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen." And the question is, how can somebody be confronted with a revelation from God, with the person of God, and not be changed? And yet, that's what happens many Christmases. People come, sometimes biannually, to an Easter service, a Christmas service, and they go away unchanged, and yet they're confronted with God's revelation and by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ walked this earth is not disputed by historians. That He claimed to be God is not disputed by historians. I was reading even of a governor of Asia in AD 112. And he was trying to kill Christian men, women, and children because they would not bow down to his statues of Trajan. He tried to make them curse Christ. But he realized that a genuine Christian cannot be induced to do this. And as he was going around killing them, he said their chief crime was that they would sing to Christ as a God. That they would sing to Christ and declare him to be a God. And for that he was putting them to death, and for that they were willing to die. And so all humanity is impacted by Christ's coming. These multitude of angels said that there will be peace among those with whom he is pleased. In verse 14, he came to bring us peace, ultimately reconciliation with God, peace between God and man. And I believe today the church often takes the amazing involvement with God, of God with us, for granted. Emmanuel, that's what his name was, God with us. Jesus, Savior. For many of us, we've heard the Christian story so many times, we've become complacent, bored with it. It's become almost like a fairy tale. One of my good friends at school classified it just as another fairy tale to tell children. But how adults could believe it, he couldn't understand. And so really the question this evening, just a shorter message. Have you responded to the revelation of God? Those shepherds were confronted with a message from God. They immediately sprinted to Bethlehem, responded, came to Christ, looked on him to be God, went away glorifying God and praising his name. And so have you come here also to be confronted by God, to be confronted with his revelation, and to go away praising the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't you bow in prayer with me? Lord Jesus, we look to you for light. And as each one of us, Lord, gropes around in darkness, trying to live our own lives, we pray that your light would shine such that we would know the glory of God, the revelation of God, stored for us over thousands of years, preserved such that we might know you. And Lord Jesus, even in our mind's eye, we worship you, the one who was spoken of by angels. Your coming was told of to Mary and Joseph, was then told of to shepherds who witnessed it. And angels then closed the circle and brought the revelation that Christ is risen. The God-child didn't come just to be a cute little baby. He came to be born under law, to live a righteous life, to live a perfect life, to be condemned, put on a cross, buried, but then to rise again. And so, Lord Jesus, we look to you, the one the messengers spoke of, the one that the glorious, powerful angels spoke of, the one who is all-powerful, all-glorious, all-worthy of praise. We fall on our knees and ask, Lord Jesus, transform us as you did those shepherds, that we would go from here glorifying your name and praising you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.